In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, something happened to you late at night on the streets of this city, and it was a horrible event. Would you like three or four eyewitnesses, or would you rather have the copy of the video cam from 7-Eleven? Think about it. Think about it. Do you want three or four key witnesses to the events that happened to you so that the police and the courts could handle the situation? Or would you prefer the video cam from, oh, I did it to you twice. You're welcome. 7-Eleven. Well, I was listening to the news this morning, and I have an answer for you. The police would prefer the video cams from local stores and street corners because, you ready for this? You don't tell the truth. According to the police of this fine city, you might change your story. They would like all the video cams from Good Friday in the stores to submit their tapes. I'll let that sink in for a minute. All the video cams from all the stores on Good Friday to turn in their video. All the closed stores on Good Friday to turn in their video. I feel so much safer every time I listen to the news. I'd rather have you as my witness. I'd rather have you as my witness. We depend on technology so much, even in the church today, that if something goes wrong with this thing, I'll tell you, I hear about it for days. But if anything goes wrong up here, it's my responsibility. So I've got to trust them. Do we make changes? I'll tell you, sometimes at the very last minute. And the incredible team in this place, from those in their 20s to those in their mid to late 80s, not pointing at anyone directly, adapt, negotiate, flex. But I trust them for their witness. I trust you for your witness. And when it comes to technology, I just hope sometimes it works. My telephone has been on a cleaning mode for 4 days. And every time I try and do something else, it reminds me that my phone is hot and needs to be cooled down. Technology. How are you doing with your laptops? Anybody need to buy one in a hurry recently? Do you want to depend on technology to inform us about truth? Or will you trust the witness? Clearly, I'm arguing tonight for the witnesses that made their way to the tomb. They didn't go to the tomb to find a crisis. The crisis had already occurred. Jesus Christ had been crucified. They went to the tomb to prepare the body for a proper burial. But when they got there, depending on which witness you read, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, there's a variety of things that may have happened. There may have been an earthquake, which in turn moved the stone. And so when the witnesses arrived, what they experienced was the soldiers on the ground, and then they experienced angels on the inside of the tomb who spoke to them and said, "Why are you here? You're looking for the dead amongst, you're looking for the living amongst the dead? Really?" Jesus said, "Risen." The witnesses, by the way, were not all men. Now, this is what I know is happening in this room right now after 30 years of ministry. When I say the witnesses were not all men, most of the women in this room are desperately trying to hold this expression with their face. But what they're thinking is, thank God. Men and women see things differently. Men and women experience things differently. And their witness is going to be different. No wonder the reflection of the resurrection story are slightly different depending on which author you read. The essence of the story is the same. The truth of the story is the same. But the nuances may be a little bit different based who's sharing their memories. Tonight, we celebrate the witnesses who went to the tomb, the women and the men who experienced that Christ had risen, who had conversation with the angels, and eventually to Mary, who had a conversation with Jesus herself. But let's not forget the rest of the story. The road to Emmaus, where a couple of the disciples who were pouting. They did not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. So they're pouting. And basically they have themselves a little bit of a temper tantrum. And they say, we're not sticking around here. We're going over there. Maybe life will be better over there. And they get on the road and a stranger comes to them and talks with them. And they do not discover that it's Jesus until he breaks bread with them. Well, thank God for the witnesses who revealed to us the truth, even in the midst of the embarrassment of saying, I didn't even recognize him. At least they were the witnesses that spoke the truth of the resurrection. Now, just in case you thought you were going to get off easy, you are now the witnesses. In this time and in this age, you are the witnesses to the risen Christ. You're the ones that others will look for and seek out to tell the story of the resurrection. And you may have this slant or that slant of it. You may have this perspective or that perspective. It may be influenced because you're male or female or even by your age. Some of you will tell the resurrection story in appropriate King James Version language. Right? Others of you will have sort of a mothery kind of twang. Right? Still others will have an ex-generation perspective. Still others will have a millennial viewpoint. But all will come to one core value, and that is that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and offers every single one of us new life and new hope and new beginnings. The doorway exiting the tomb is an entrance to new life, new hope, and new beginnings. But the resurrection did this as well, and this is where some are uncomfortable. Nothing was ever the same. In our lifetime, over the last 3 years, we've discovered that there are moments in life where the world events around us change everything forever. In the classroom, never been the same, have they? It's a good thing you look great on TV, I'll tell you. In the hospitals, never been the same, have they? How about the ICU room? At 2 o'clock in the morning. Never been the same. And for our world, never been the same does not mean all bad. Change is not a four-letter word. New is not a four-letter word. Different is not a four-letter word, but it does require this, that we are stretched a little, that we're willing to explore new ideas and new possibilities. That does not mean you throw everything else out, but it does mean that you remember that the doorway out of the tomb is about new ideas and new beginnings and a brand new start. Now, the difficulty about beautiful nights like this is that the preacher can look out and assume that he has a captive audience for as long as he would like, and that would be a very serious mistake. So let me close in this way. We continue tomorrow with our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus, of those opportunities for new beginnings, but we're going to come at it from a very different perspective. And half the room is about to be thrilled. You see, the women, they knew different. The women, they knew better. The women were the ones that had the insight, and the women were the first ones to experience the glory of the resurrection. And we need to hear from the women much more often. The men, let us be clear, were scared, truly frightened, unsettled by the events that had come up to that moment. It took them a while to readjust, and they too have a perspective. But tomorrow morning, we will continue as we explore together the feminine perspective of the resurrection as well as the male perspective. Tomorrow is not the end of Easter, but the beginning, not only of Easter, of new life for us all. Amen.